Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. With me on the other line, as always, it's David Ramil. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing great. I mean, it feels like we're actually in the middle of the season here. I know it's still a preseason, but there's actual basketball being played, and there's just so much going on, particularly with our Miami Heat.
So much going on that the mailbag was just like busting open this weekend. I mean,
it was like Santa Claus almost,
like Santa Claus. And we're gonna basically break this mailbag up because there's so many. We're gonna do our first usual mailbag today. We're gonna have another mailbag coming up tomorrow for Tuesday. So let's just get right into it.
Before we jump in though, I gotta say, thank you so much to all of our listeners. It seems like we're getting some really positive feedback from everybody who's listening in, and we're getting some really, really good questions. And, you know, the season hasn't even started yet, really, and already you guys are already very, very engaged in asking us some fantastic questions. So keep up the good work, and we'll try to do the best on our end as well.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Tayshaun Flats was the first question. He asks, Chris Bosh wants to play and Miami wants to win. I know with all the health scares, it would be a risk, but couldn't the Heat offer Chris a different contract? And he goes on with some ideas, but basically he's asking, could they restructure Bosh's deal based around his medical status, saying that if he can't play, then he's going to leave without a fight. If he can play, then the Heat will do everything that they can to provide him all the resources he needs in order to play. And to accommodate him the best that they can. He says, I don't know if this would work, but at least everyone gets what they want, and if anything goes wrong, the team is somewhat protected. And I think the number one issue with this is that you can't really do a restructure like that, where it's going from the $76 million that he's currently owed to basically nothing, where it's completely incentive-based. I mean, the NBA works on guaranteed money, so he's going to get that money somehow. So any sort of restructure would be based on top of that guaranteed money. You couldn't take guaranteed money and turn it into optional money, from what I understand. This would be a really weird thing. There's nothing in the CBA that, like, from the CBA facts that you could find online by Larry Kuhn. I kind of went through that looking for something like this, and there was nothing necessarily like this specifically mentioned, but guaranteed money is just that because it's guaranteed. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't seem very likely. It seems pretty it seems pretty much like an acrimonious split at this point, and I don't think him or his representatives have any interest or have had any interest in working closely. Again, you know, as we've talked about on a number of occasions, somebody isn't telling the full truth here, and there might be outright lies on one party's end or the other, but we're not sure at this point, you know, because according to the Heat and Riley, he's just not medically able to play. And they've contacted the team. I mean, the team has contacted Bosch and tried to work with him and his agents and tried to notify him. Bosch is saying something completely different. So one or the other or both want a complete split from the team. But as far as Chris is concerned, he says he wants to play. But even if he doesn't play, he's going to go wind up getting paid anyway, at least throughout the rest of the season. So I don't think it behooves him to try and negotiate with the team and help them out by, you know, restructuring his deal, even if a restructure was possible. And like you said, I just don't think it's likely that there, you know, something new could happen. And I know that there's a talk of a new collective bargaining agreement being worked on right now, and hopefully will be in effect before next season. But even if that is the case, I don't imagine that they'll include any kind of language about how to restructure contracts and things along those lines. So,
yeah, I mean, the issue's never. I mean, even Bosch in his uninterrupted thing said it's not about the money. The Heat on the Heat side, they're not playing Bosch because he's making $23 million this year. They're not playing him because of the medical issue. So even if they were to let's say they were able to restructure the deal, which we're pretty sure they can't do it in that way. Let's say that they could, and they did, and maybe Bosch is on the books for now $2 million, and he gets some incentive if he plays 30 games that bumps him up to $10 million, something like that, right? They're not going to not play him just because they're scared of paying him some sort of incentive or whatever. Like they just don't want, it's a medical issue from what we understand. They're already on the books for that $23 million. So it's not as if they just woke up one day and like, we don't want to play him this much. We don't want to pay him this much money. The issue is that they don't know that he can play without a serious health risk, right? So that's what this is all about. It's the health issue. If Bosch was healthy, they would have no issue paying him that money and playing him. He's Miami's best two-way player at that point. The issue is his health.
But I do think money is a factor, though. I think it's naive to think otherwise. Not a dig at you or anybody who thinks so, but I think, like, wouldn't the Heat, and we don't know this, don't you think they'd be more willing to take him on if he was being paid $2 million a year?
Yeah, they wouldn't be in such a rush to get rid of his contract. But and I think that's exactly what's happening here, and we've heard recent reports that they're not even gonna, if they decide to waive him, they won't do so until after March 1st. Like, there's obviously a money thing involved here.
Right.
But I guess my response is more in regards to that question. Why would they restructure a contract based on money when the issue is his health? Does that make sense? Why would they restructure a deal like that?
The flip side to that then is if he's saying it's not about money, he's lying. I mean, it is about money because
I'm
sorry?
It's always about money.
Right. Well, I mean, exactly. It's a huge factor. And I think, like, he says it's not about the money and all that, but sure. I mean, then he would agree to a buyout where he would get paid significantly less and that he could play anywhere he wants to, but he doesn't want that.
Well, if he could, I think the issue with that right now is that he's under a contract right now. So if the NBAPA comes out and says that he needs to play, and this goes to some sort of legislation or arbitration with the Heat and the NBAPA, then at least he's got a contract. So I think that's one thing is like, okay, I'm on a team. I am on a roster right now. Like, that's the plus side. If I can find a way to get back onto the court, at least I have a contract to do that with. So that's like half the battle right there. If he does agree to a buyout, now he's got to look for a job where his future is uncertain. I don't know if anybody would give him a contract. So I believe Bosch when he says it's not all about the money, but not when it comes to the fact that he wants a contract. I think that he needs that contract in order to have at least that much leverage. Like, I'm under contract. The only thing that's stopping me from playing is this health thing, is your team doctors. It's not the fact that I don't have a contract to play with, you know? So that's why I don't think he would agree in general to any sort of restructure or buyout like just like this, unless he knows from another team that if he gets bought out, that they would sign him, which would be tampering, which probably still happens, but just saying.
I got to be honest with you. I think you and I have talked about this, and as much as I appreciate all of our questions about it, I'm kind of so done talking about the situation.
Well, good, because our next two questions are about Chris Bosh. But before we get to that, it is football season. The Miami Dolphins are not very good, but there is only one way to go see a football game live in person. And basketball season's right around the corner. The Heat are going to be very fun to watch. And there's only one way to go see the Heat live in person. Do you know what that way is, David?
I think it's by downloading the free SeatGeek guide.
Exactly right. You need tickets, and the only way to get tickets, the best way to get tickets, the smartest way to get tickets, the easiest way to get tickets is with SeatGeek. Download the app on your cell phone. Go to the website on your computer. And it's the best way to go see your favorite teams up close and in person this season. There's nothing like SeatGeek. There's nothing. It's like kayak.com, but for tickets to sporting events and to music events. I know David and I are big music fans here. I have the Chance the Rapper concert that I've been talking a lot about on this podcast next weekend.
Oh, I've got Roger Waters playing at the American Airlines Arena on July 13th of next year, but tickets go on sale just a few days away. And I know I'm going to be using SeatGeek in order to get tickets for that because, you know, he was former lead singer for Pink Floyd. Yeah. He's going to be bringing back a lot of those great classics. I can't wait to see him in concert.
Is he doing the wall?
Yeah, I imagine he will be.
Oh, that's going to be great. Roger Waters, doesn't he do American Airlines like every year?
I think it's been a while, but yeah, this is it's. And now this is the first time I'll be able to do so by using SeatGeek, so it's an extra benefit for me because all of our listeners can use the promo code LOHEAT. That's LO Heat in order to get their first purchase of tickets through SeatGeek, and they get a $20 rebate on that purchase. So it's a great opportunity for me and any other listeners that are using this code for the first time.
Yeah, I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. I've had it for a long time, even before we brought our Heat Check podcast over to Locked On Network. I've been using SeatGeek for a couple of years now. I have it on my phone. It's the easiest way that I've found to shop for tickets by far. I mean, I could be anywhere, just a few taps. I'm instantly finding the seats that I want for any game or concert or anything like that. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek prices compares prices for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price for you. So like when I said it's like kayak.com for hotels, if you've ever used Kayak, this is exactly that. I mean, I started using Kayak a few years ago, and I love that one too. And SeatGeek is exactly that. They have big green dots that tell you what a good deal is and smaller red dots for what a not-so-good deal is. SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. So, no fakes. No fakies. You're getting real tickets. Realies. So, and just like David said, $20 off rebate when you use the promo code LOHEAT. So just download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter our promo code LOHEAT. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter your promo code LOHEAT today. You have no reason not to.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get on with our next mailbag question. This is from Chris Leach. Along the lines of your Rudy Gay trade idea, and if you don't know what we're talking about, we talked about it. When was that podcast? Last week sometime.
Early this week, I think.
Yeah, so along the lines of the Rudy Gay trade idea that you proposed, do you think the Heat could trade Chris Bosch if another team thinks he can play, such as Sacramento? I mean, their front office doesn't seem opposed to taking risks. Do you think this is possible?
I'm going to go with no on that one, right? I mean,
yeah, I'm going to say no, but let me rehash what that trade was really quick for the listeners
who don't
know. What it was it was when we were talking about how we would rebuild the Miami Heat if we were in charge. That was that podcast. Yeah. And then I said, okay, well, one way to tank would be to trade Goran Dragic and Josh McRoberts for Rudy Gay and a couple other players. And that way you're getting out from under Dragic's salary. And you're getting Rudy Gay, who has a player option at the end of this year, which he is expected to option out of so that he can hit free agency. And so that would be my way of tanking because then you're saving – I can't remember the money off the top of my head, but I think it was like $13 million or something like that.
Exactly.
Right off the bat. So that was the trade he was talking about. And so, yeah, if the Kings would do that, would they trade for Chris Bosh? You were saying you don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, I know that we want to make a lot of terrible comments about Sacramento's front office. And sure, there's been disarray there, although I think things are getting a little bit more organized there now that they've gotten rid of George Karl. I think the ownership, you know, is in place. I think they're moving forward with a clearer direction now that they've hired Dave Gehringer, too. So I think the team is moving forward in a much better direction than they have been, you know, over the last couple of seasons. And yeah, maybe they've been a little bit synonymous with dysfunction and poorly thought out decision making, but hopefully that's in the past, at least for them. I don't think anybody can just go in there and completely fleece them on the deal anymore. So given that, I don't know that anybody's willing to make a deal for Bosch. I mean, why bother trading any potential assets they have on their roster unless they're desperate to move them? Even Rudy Gay isn't being actively shopped as far as we know. We haven't heard any kind of major rumors that he's been linked anywhere, and maybe nobody else wants him. But even at the same time, I just don't think that they're desperate enough to try and trade Gay's contract, even for somebody like Bosch, because although Bosch is a much better player, he has these lingering health issues. So I just don't think that there's any incentive for them to engage in any kind of deal, particularly when he could possibly wind up getting waived and they could offer him and whatever contract they want to as a free agent. And he might wind up playing there anyway. You know, it's kind of like the same situation that we were faced with Goran Dragic, where we could have waited potentially until the summer and we didn't necessarily have to make a huge trade with Phoenix. And then, you know, it's one that they wind up making and it benefited them greatly.
The only reason the Heat made that was because they thought that they could make that playoff push, right?
Correct.
And so
before he was hurt the first time around.
Right. And that to me would be the reason a team would trade for Bosch. Right. Because we've already heard reports that the Heat won't waive him until after March 1st, which would disqualify him from participating in the playoffs, even if he were to sign with a team that would make that made the playoffs. So I, not that that's going to be an issue for the Kings because they're not making the playoffs this year, but if that's the case, the Heat have already kind of taken away some of their leverage, saying we're going to waive him. We're not going to waive him until now, but we're going to waive him. So why would a team trade for Bosch and then take on his entire contract, right? The $76 million that he's due, where they could wait for the Heat to waive Bosch, and then the Heat are paying that money, and then they are able to pay Bosch for probably a minimum salary, right? They could probably get away with paying him a minimum salary. The only reason the Kings would do it is because Bosch if Bosch has options, Sacramento's probably not high on there. But if Bosch doesn't have options and Sacramento's the only team calling, that's what they have to bet on, right?
Yeah, that's an interesting issue also, right? Because you wonder, you know, maybe other teams are even calling right now just to find out how severe this Bosch situation is. And maybe they're trying to get it directly from the horse's mouth, so to speak. You know, they're contacting Riley and trying to find out exactly what they could do with Bosch. And maybe there's more information floating around in 29 other front offices elsewhere. And they're fully aware of what might happen. I mean, that's not to say that they wouldn't be willing to take a chance. But let's think about that situation. Like, he's waived after March 1st. He's not going to be playoff eligible anyway. And maybe you want to bring him aboard for a playoff push. What would be the point of that if he's not even going to be able to play in the postseason and you get to play a certain level? Let's say he's healthy enough to play following March 1st. March 2nd, he's in Cleveland. He's joined LeBron James there. He's helping them cement playoff seeding or whatever might be the case. And then all of a sudden, the playoffs roll around a month and a half later, and he's no longer eligible to play. I mean, doesn't that change the kind of dynamic that you've been building for the previous 6 months of the season? It just doesn't seem to make sense. If anything, it would probably be a team that isn't looking to make the playoffs and maybe counting on Bosch sticking around with a team maybe this season and beyond and helping them develop next year as well.
I'm glad you bring Cleveland up because that to me is the team that would maybe take this risk. I think LeBron has enough influence in that organization to say, give this guy a shot. If I'm Bosch, and I'm reading these reports that the Heat aren't going to waive me until after March 1st so I can't join a playoff team, and I still think that I'm going to play, then that irritates me, but that also gives me some leverage if I'm Chris Bosch, because now what Bosch can do is go to the Heat's front office and say, look, you need to waive me. I will agree to a buyout for very little, because when you can agree to a buyout, you can take the salary down. That could be his leverage. I'd say, okay, I'll agree to a buyout, but you have to waive me before March 1st, knowing that he could probably go sign with the Cavaliers. That's Bosch's leverage right there.
Mm.
So I think that would make sense, right? If you're Bosch, go agree to the buyout, go sign with Cleveland for the minimum.
Right.
And then you end, and then you just try to break things off with the Heat that way.
But that's why it's so bizarre, the whole situation, is because, one, if he thinks he's eligible to play anyway, why wouldn't he already begin the arbitration process with the players union? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't he already be, filing charges against the team and seeing why it is that they're preventing him from being able to live his life and fulfill his contract, et cetera? Unless he really acknowledges, maybe privately, that there is a medical issue that's keeping him off the floor. I mean, there's just so many bizarre aspects to this, and I don't know that we'll ever get the full truth without litigation taking place, because, I mean, it doesn't seem like it's in the best interest of either party, either the team or the player, to reveal exactly what's going on, because there's probably something pretty shady going on either end, you know? And it's just a difficult situation, again, because, you know, as we've talked about before, he was such an intrinsic part of the Big Three era. He was, you know, beloved here in South Florida. I think he still is, to be honest with you, but there's a negative, you know, finality to all this that I don't think anybody really wants. And I've seen the more, I guess, optimistic, maybe a little cold-hearted among the Heat fan base saying, let's go, let's move on. He's no longer part of the team. Let's just focus on the future. But it's not quite that simple. And the reality is that also, you know, Chris is a human being, and he was a special part of this team. And it's not so easy, at least for me anyway, and maybe I speak for others, but just to cut ties with him and move forward.
Well, I'm glad we bring that all up, because this is our final question. This is from George Coles. It says, I saw Bosch's uninterrupted finale. Is he trying to have his cake and eat it too? Football players get hurt and get screwed all the time. Bosch says it's not about the money, so why not agree to a buyout? Maybe $30 million. Bosch has to realize he hasn't played two full seasons, and while he may be effective in limited minutes, he's not worth $23-plus million a year. Am I reasonable in thinking he can't get $75 million, which is due, he's $75, $76 million, and expect to play for another team too? And this is kind of wrapping up everything that we've talked about. Right. And I think, George, this is a good question. He also, I think he's expressing the sentiments, I think, of a lot of Heat fans. You're not worth this money. You are clearly not worth $76 million. You're clearly not worth your cap hit of $23-plus million a year. Why are you fighting this? And that's why I think a lot of Heat fans have turned on Bosch, because they see this cap hit not as something that they're worried about paying, because I don't think it's not their money, you know, it's Mickey Arison's money, but as a handcuff to roster flexibility. And that's the problem here. But what we have to remember is, and so let's say that he does take a buyout, right, of $30 million, which is less than half of what he's due. But he agreed to take less. Let's say he agrees to take about half or even less than of what he's due in order to take a buyout. What is Bosch paying for at that point? And that's what I want fans to think about. What is Bosch paying for? What is he paying basically $46 million or $30 million that he's going to leave on the table? What's he paying for? Is he paying for finality? Is he paying for closure? No. Why would he do that? That's what the Heat would be paying for. That's what the Heat would be paying that $30 million up front for. But Bosch would need to know that, like we said before, that he has another opportunity to go play, and he doesn't think that the Heat are going to play him, and he thinks that there are other teams that are going to play him. But there's no way of truly knowing that, because other team doctors can't inspect him. Other teams can't technically talk to him about that stuff, because, again, that's tampering. So Bosch needs to somehow know for certain to leave all of those millions of dollars on the table that he can go somewhere else and play, even if it's for less than what he's making now. So that's what, yeah, is he worth it? No, not at this point. Even if he were to play what he did the last two seasons, he's only playing half of a season, and that's not worth the contract that he's making. But if you're Bosch, why would you leave? Why would you just get rid of all of that? Like, what reason does he have for that?
None that I can see. I mean, I tend to not leave millions behind in all of my business dealings, and I don't assume that Chris Bosch would either.
Yeah, I mean, that... Does it sound selfish? Yeah, but like what we're talking about millions of, like, tens of millions of dollars.
I've argued for exact change at McDonald's before. I mean, we're not talking about sacrificing tens of millions of dollars. Right. Obviously, I think most people tend to forget that.
I feel like people don't. People look at players like, I don't know, Tim Duncan, who go out like into the sunset, you know, and they handle their business like that, but like. Tim Duncan, who's like left millions of dollars on the table, but he's also got a front office job immediately, like the day after he retired. Like, well, he's making all that money back.
And above that, too, I think we talked about, too. I mean, over the course of his 19-year career, he's earned twice as much as Chris Bosh has. So, I mean, the money isn't the same. I mean, this is a guy who's still in the prime of his life and able to play. There's another contract for him waiting at the end of this deal had he been able to remain healthy. So he could have made a lot more money over the course of his career.
So, to answer the question, am I reasonable in thinking he can't get $75 million and expect to play for another team? Yeah, that's reasonable. But that's also, like, we see very unreasonable things happen in the NBA all the time. That's just the way this works, you know? You see players get overpaid all the time because of market value, not necessarily because of what their talents indicate, you know?
Sure.
And that's hard. I don't think that Bosch is being selfish. I just think that he's doing he's being smart. Like, he is keeping as many doors open as possible if he really wants to go play. And if Bosch does decide, you know what, maybe wakes up tomorrow morning and says, I don't want to deal with this anymore. I'm done. I don't want to fight it. I'll retire. I can do a million other things. Then maybe he agrees to a buyout, and that's why he would do that, just because he's like, I don't want to deal with the health stuff anymore. Maybe that's why, right? That would be the only reason Bosch retires. Not because he wouldn't do it as a favor to the Heat. He doesn't owe them that. Like, this is his contract. There is a certain amount. Like, when you sign if you're a front office and you sign a player to a long-term deal, you understand that there are risks involved. There are business risks in every business deal, and this was a very minute risk, probably one that they never even thought of, right? But that's why you have insurance. That's why you have all these things in place. That's why the NBA, the CBA has this medical exemption that the Heat are going to apply for in February. But that's the risk. So it's not that the Heat, it's not that Bosch owes the Heat anything, you know?
No. And I'm just thinking about listening to everything you're saying, and I'm thinking to myself that at some point in time, probably in 2014, those guys, the big three, must have found out exactly how much money the Heat had been making during the previous 4 years of that era and realized we should be entitled to a whole heck of a lot more than we're getting. And that's probably what facilitated a lot of their exodus from the team, you know, or their willingness to cash in as much money as possible. Because, again, we want to hang on to these archaic notions of loyalty and taking hometown discounts and everything else like that. Look, I mean, look at Dirk Nowitzki, the poster boy for hometown discounts. What's he getting paid this year to be a solid but not spectacular player who's in his, you know, no longer in his prime and hasn't been for a long time? I mean, is he still going to get you a couple 30-point outings every once in a while? Sure. But he's no longer the accurate shooter he once was, and he's limited mobility-wise, and they're ready to move on pretty much in Dallas, I think. But, you know, I guess there must have been some kind of awakening on the big three's part and realize that they, you know, are deserving more money than they were currently getting, I guess. So, I mean, that might be tough for a lot of fans to hear, but, I mean, they have to think about it from their own perspective. You know, you want to make as much money as possible from your employer, whoever that might be, or if you're an employer yourself, don't you try to, you know, cut costs down wherever possible? And if that means, you know, screwing over an employee every once in a while because they've had a lackluster performance review or something along those lines, I mean, that's just the reality of business. And that's what a lot of people tend to forget when we're looking at a situation like this.
All right. Well, we have more mailbag questions, but we're going to save those for tomorrow. Really good, like you said earlier, really great questions, and the regular season hasn't even started yet. I mean, the preseason has started. Our next mailbag for Tuesday will be more about the preseason. We got a bunch of Bosch questions, we got a bunch of preseason questions, tried to split them up and almost, you know, do all the Bosch questions today. We'll do some more questions on Tuesday. So that's all we have. Whether you're listening on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher, thank you for listening. You can get in touch with the show on Twitter at LockedOnHeat or by email, where you can send us mailbag questions like you've been doing, leave us comments, or inquire about advertising. That's LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Big thanks to SeatGeek for sponsoring the show, and a big thanks to David for joining me.
Absolutely. You got it, Wes.
We'll catch you next time.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.